Shall we pray together before I begin? Father God, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for this lovely occasion. And we pray now as we look at your word that you would speak to us through it. Amen. If you'd like to, please keep your Bible open at that Revelation reading. This morning we're going to consider our answers to two questions. And the first question is this: what are you waiting for? I've got some images of things that we wait for in our lives, and if you're in one of the side aisles and you can't quite see the pictures, please do feel free to move across so you can see. So one of the things we wait for is that we wait for babies to arrive, and that's the case for some families here at St. Nick's at the moment who are waiting for new babies. We wait for buses. We wait for exciting dates like birthdays and weddings and holidays. In my house, we're waiting for exams to be over so that the summer can begin. And then, of course, we'll be waiting for the results. We may wait to meet the person that we will spend our life with. But what are you waiting for in your life? Maybe you're waiting for a time when perhaps some bullying will stop and you can make some really good friends. Perhaps you're waiting for a day when you will feel well. Perhaps you're just waiting for retirement when life can be a bit easier, or waiting for a time when financially things are less of a struggle. I wonder if there's any sense in which you're waiting for God, waiting for him to show himself to you that you might believe in him, or waiting for him to show you the plans that he has for you. And I wonder how good you are at waiting. Do you wait patiently, or are you frustrated and live life with an underlying sense of unease and dissatisfaction all the time? In the Bible, God's people were used to waiting. It went with the territory. The prophets of old had promised a day when the Lord would appear, and they had held on to this belief for hundreds of years. The hope of God's coming back was at the heart of their hope for a restored nation. The early Christians all believed that this promise had been fulfilled when Jesus came to earth, when he died, and then rose from the dead. This week, we've remembered Ascension Day, which was the day when Jesus finally left this earth. 40 days after Easter, he was taken up to heaven before the eyes of the disciples. And in the midst of all this, there were two things that they had to wait for. The first was that Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, who would fill them with power and enable them to tell others boldly all about Jesus. And he came 10 days later. And next week we'll be celebrating that at Pentecost. And also at that time, the disciples were told that Jesus would come back. And that hasn't happened yet. Christians today are still in that time of waiting. We are waiting for Jesus' return. Yet in these last two verses of the whole Bible, in that reading today, Jesus testifies to all that's gone before. He is a reliable witness, and we can trust him. And he says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Jesus reminds us all that he will return. It may have felt a long wait, but he is coming soon, coming back to this earth to complete the work of saving the world. And those who love him will be with him forever. It's hard to think, isn't it, that this world will not go on forever as it is. But Jesus is coming soon. And I wonder how you respond to this idea. One response is that, quite frankly, it's all nonsense. We live in a world that is fixed and sure. And even if the person of Jesus existed, he is a figure of the past and has no part to play in the future of our lives or our planet. Even if we do believe that Jesus is coming again, probably most of the time, we don't live with an attitude of waiting, and we're more consumed with the here and now. There have definitely been times in my life when I've been really looking forward to something. And so my attitude has been, Lord, I'm glad you're coming one day, but please don't come yet. If we're Christians here today, the fact that Jesus is coming soon should act as a call to action and stop us becoming too settled or comfortable. It should spur us on to keep faithful in our Christian lives, to read our Bibles, to pray, to live lives that reflect what Jesus would do, and to tell others of the good news of Jesus. Don't give up. As we pray the Lord's Prayer and the words, Thy Kingdom Come, we should remember that we are praying for Jesus' return to establish his kingdom fully. Jesus says, Yes, I am coming soon. And may our response be like that in our reading today, which was simply, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen is a Hebrew word that isn't easily translated, but it's a word of agreement, a word of trust that Jesus will do what he says here. He will come soon. What are you waiting for? What drives your life? And that leads us neatly onto our second question. What would you die for? I'm sure that many of us would say that we would be prepared to die to save the lives of our families or friends, and probably particularly our children or our grandchildren. Perhaps you would die for your country. Members of our armed forces face this on a routine basis. Maybe you would die for a political cause or to promote freedom. Jesus said that greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. And of course, he did this and much more. One of our Bible translations says that we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Jesus died for us not when we were his friends, but in fact while we were still a long way off from him. That may be you this morning. He is not someone you care for, and you have little or no interest in living or dying for him. But he was willing to die for you, and he considers you worth it. There are many Christians across the world today who are willing to suffer and die for Jesus. I hope I'm one of those. But unlike me, they are being tested in this on a daily basis. Since Thursday and throughout the coming week, as we meet for prayer for Thy Kingdom Come, we've been praying for those Christians across the world who are being persecuted for their faith. We've learned how Christians in North Korea have to keep their faith a secret and often even don't tell their children of their faith in case they let something slip outside the home. In Afghanistan, there are no church buildings at all, and Christians are often sent to psychiatric hospitals because to desert Islam is seen as evidence of mental ill health. In Somalia, the military might literally shoot you on the spot if they know you have become a Christian. Across the world, Christians are being persecuted on a large scale, and it may surprise you to know that Christianity is in fact the most persecuted religion globally. Persecution and suffering were also features in the church when our reading from Revelation was written. If you're experiencing suffering, your cry is, "How long, Lord? How long will this go on?" And he responds with the fact that he is coming soon. Jesus says, "I am coming soon. Yes, I am. It is true." Those words are a reminder that he comes to be with them, with us, now by his Spirit, and that our trials will not go on forever. He will return soon. And so, "Come, Lord Jesus," becomes a prayer. For Jesus' coming will signal the end of suffering. And so, whether then or now, it's a prayer that is a source of encouragement and comfort and hope, particularly to those who are suffering or facing death for their faith. And then the whole Bible concludes with a prayer for grace in that final verse. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." A reminder right at the end of the Bible that the Christian faith is not about what we should do or how we should act, but about God's love towards us and our trust in Jesus' death for us. And as we begin our Christian faith, trusting in his grace, we need his grace to keep on standing for him in the midst of our waiting and the tough times that may come. What are you waiting for? What would you die for? These are big questions, and may the answers we find point us to Jesus. Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, it's hard to think that this world is not all there is, that it won't go on as it is now forever. But we pray that we may be found ready on that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.